Thank you, Brother Jim. Now, I was relieved when he handed me that songbook and did not expect me to sing out of it, but what I've chosen this day is to reflect upon song number 346, Peace Be Still, and also to talk about the scriptures that brings to mind. Songs in the world play upon the emotions, upon feelings, and I like them, but they're just emotions. They're just feelings. But the songs we find in our hymnals reflect the scriptures, the Word of God. And they're a strength that we need to look back to draw strength from, to remember in the times that are tough. Brother Jim said that we may not see Brother Nicholas again in our midst physically here in the congregation. I don't know, only God does. But I want you to remember all the times that Brother Nicholas has stood in Boy's witness, his testimony, has extended more than just his hand and a warm handshake. There was genuine love behind that. And he has a hope. And that hope will soon be realized. Because if you look around at the things that Brother Jim said not to look at on myself, whether my glasses are straight, my gig line is where it should be, or my hair combed, this is just a physical body. And we prepare for something spiritual to come. And that's what I'd like to talk about. And that's what Brother Nicholas has prepared for. Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. The Lord Jesus Christ asleep. And if you look at the day that he had put in, he deserved physical sleep. He had ministered to the servant of a centurion, sick with the palsy, and he was healed. He had taken care of Peter's mother that suffered from a fever, and she was healed. And it says that a multitude brought forth those that were possessed with devils, those that had spirits that brought about sickness, and each and every one were healed. Now, I've not ministered to that many in a row. But in the Philippines, I've administered, along with Brother Charles Brantner, to over 24 at one time. And it takes its toll. And the Lord Jesus Christ was physically spent, and he was asleep. And it says that as that tempest arose, we find the words from song number 346. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perished? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? And the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep, yes, but he was in that ship. And he had already begun to teach those that followed him of their faith, of a hope, and of the marvelous power of faith. And as he awoke, he admonished them, O ye of little faith. And then he calmed that great storm. And they marveled at the power of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about the world that we are in. And there are all kinds of pressures on every side. All kinds of choices. Blackness, great fear within not just this nation, but the whole world. I want you to think about that. I'd like you to turn first to 1 Nephi, chapter 5, verse 186. And we have here a family traveling together. And there's contention, division within this family. And the younger brother, Nephi, has been named to be a ruler, and his older brothers will have nothing to do with it. And it says that they took him and they bound him. Verse 189, it says that the Lord did suffer it, that he might show forth his power unto the fulfilling of his word which he had spoken concerning the wicked. It says also that it came to pass that after they had bound me, insomuch that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared of the Lord did cease to work. And they had in their midst a physical thing that moved according to their faith, according to their diligence, according to how they responded to the word of God. And as Nephi was bound, that failed to function. And I want you to think about the marvelous gift that you have within you, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Given not of man, but of Jesus Christ himself, a promise. And whether a man physically binds you, does that cause that marvelous gift to cease? It does not. But as you allow yourself to be bound with the things of the world, that gift that is within you, that would lead, guide, direct, and protect, it does not leave, but it does not function as God intends. Verse 207, and there was nothing save it where the power of God, which threatened them with destruction, could soften their hearts. Now, within my life, I have allowed myself to be bound from time to time. And it is the hard things of life that come upon us that we remember God. And we ask that those binds be taken from us. Nothing save destruction could soften their hearts. Wherefore, when they saw that they were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea, they repented of the thing which they had done, insomuch that they loosed me. And as we repent of our sins, as we repent and allow God to remove those things that bind us, we find ourselves lifted and freed once again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that after they had loosed me, behold, I took the compass, and it did work whether I desired it. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord. And after I had prayed, the winds did cease, and the storm did cease, and there was a great calm. And it goes on and says in verse 211 that they continued in their journey towards the promised land. Where is Brother Nicholas headed? Where are you headed? Towards the promised land? Towards everything that the Lord Jesus Christ holds out for each of us? Turn to Alma, the 17th chapter, verse 71. Alma 17. Verse 71. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers called a ball or director, or our fathers called it Lahona, which is being interpreted a compass, and the Lord prepared him. And as we've already talked about, the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared something far greater than this that resides within each that have entered in by the right way. And now my, in verse 78, and now my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. It requires a work on our part. It requires endurance. It requires diligence. It requires heeding the word of God to arrive at that promised land. Verse 81, O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. It is not once saved, always saved. It requires a constant effort day by day towards that promised land, towards that land to come, towards that reward. For so it was with our fathers, for so it was prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so, it is with us. The way is prepared. Prepared of your pastor? No. Prepared of the ministry? No. Prepared of yourself? Certainly not. Prepared of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will look, we may live forever. A tempest is raging. There is an anguish in the spirit, but there will come a time when the terror is over. And we know that according to Matthew, the 8th chapter, according to that song that we looked at, the Lord Jesus Christ quieted that great storm. And he will quiet the world that we live in. How soon? I don't know. But I do know that if we prepare today, there will come a time when the terror is over. In Helaman, the 5th chapter, verses 82 through 85, it was prophesied what would happen when Jesus Christ died. It was prophesied what would happen when he was crucified, but more importantly, when he arose. Did that people prepare? Some did, some did not. And in 3 Nephi 4, verses 21 through 61, it recounts the great destruction that came upon this land. It recounts city after city destroyed, region after region washed away of the sea or a volcano. It did not exist anymore. Things physical. But more importantly, those souls that Jesus Christ created, some listened and some did not. We're all perfect? It says no. It says only the more righteous were spared. But there came a time when that 3 days of darkness. And I can't imagine what that would be like. I've been in what they say is total darkness, but I knew that we would get out in an hour or two. Can you imagine 3 days and not knowing when it would come to an end? But it did. And as the people came out and looked around at the great destruction and they marveled, only the more righteous were spared. Turn to Ether, the 3rd chapter. Ether, 3rd chapter, verses 6 through 9 to start off. And it came to pass that the Lord God caused that there should be a furious wind blow upon the face of the water towards the promised land. Verse 7, and it came to pass that they were many times buried in the depths of the sea because of the mountain of waves which broke upon them. And I want you to think about your life. Where do we journey to? Towards that promised land. How many days? I don't know. And neither do you. But the Father in heaven knows. Driven by furious winds? Yes. Peril on every side? Yes. Waves that could drown us in an instant. Whether they're a physical wave or symbolic of something, some other power. And it, verse 8, it came to pass that when they were buried in the deep, there was no water that could hurt them. In the depths of the water, and yet the water found no way in. Their vessels being tight, like unto a dish. And also they were tight, like unto the ark of Noah. Well, do we travel in a vessel? We call it a vessel of clay. Is it tight? Is it tight against the perils that are on the outside? If we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. Does that mean that we may not suffer death? We might. Does that mean that we might not be caused to suffer pain for Christ? Maybe. But what is on the inside, what Christ has created that never dies, is what we want to go to the promised land. Verse 9, therefore when they were encompassed about by many waters, they did cry unto the Lord. I like that. Because in this world, and you turn on any news channel, we are encompassed about with waters. Our very destruction could be upon us. But if we remember to cry unto the Lord, is he asleep? The disciples feared so, but is he asleep? Well, you might say, well, we're not traveling in a ship. But we are. If you think about this assembly right now, the Temple Lot local, this is a ship tight against the world, tight against anything, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst. Is he asleep? No. Is it just the Temple Lot local? No, it is the whole Church of Christ, tight against the world. If we remember to cry unto the Lord. They did cry unto the Lord, and he did bring them forth again upon the top of the waters. Not to the promised land yet, but on top of the waters. And they floated. Verse 11. And they did sing praises unto the Lord. Yea, the brother of Jared did sing praises unto the Lord, and he did thank and praise the Lord all the day long. Do you thank and praise the Lord all day? What's the most you've ever prayed to the Lord? Well, it says brother Jared prayed all day and all night. We know that Enos, as he sought the Lord, prayed all day and all night and into the next day. Are we slothful? Are we prepared? Are we diligent? Are we tight with the Lord? And when the night came, they did not cease to praise the Lord. And thus they were driven forth, and no monster of the sea could break them, neither whale that could mar them, and they did have light continually, whether it was above the water or under the water. The light that was prepared of the Lord Jesus Christ lit their way physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Verse 13, and thus they were driven forth 344 days. Can you imagine traveling that way? Brother Frank and I complain about 21 and a half hours traveling to the Philippines. It's tough. But, you know, 22 hours later, we're there. 344 days. And in this vessel, there was neither top nor bottom. Sometimes they flipped. Their whole world was turned upside down, literally, but yet in the Lord, they survived. Whether underneath, on top, or topsy-turvy. They were tight with the Lord. Am I tight? Are you? In that song that we referred to, it talks about a sky shadowed with blackness. And the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 7th chapter, verses 14 through 25, talked about a war between the flesh and the spirit. He talked about what the law could do, but it failed. Then he talked about what the spirit of that law, the Lord Jesus Christ, could do. And it was everything. And he was in constant turmoil. I can identify with that. I'm like that a lot. And you are too. And we talk about Nephi. Turn to 2 Nephi chapter 3. Second Nephi chapter 3, verses 31 through 66. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me His great and marvelous works. Have you seen them? Have you experienced them? Are they a part of your life? My heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. And he sorrowed because of the weakness of his flesh, subject as you and I are to the flesh. It holds us back, yes. Is it an excuse? No. It's a reason. And Nephi goes on and he thinks about all the things that he has seen. And in verse 42, oh, then if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men, not just to Nephi, but to you and I, if the Lord has condescended to us and hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in a valley? And he goes on and he says, awake my soul. No longer droop in sin. Was Nephi privy to sin? Yes. Was it a choice? Yes. Did he give in? Evidently sometimes. But he triumphed in Christ. He was no more or no less than you or I. He goes on and he says, O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that it's a lost effort. Your brother, your pastor has asked me to preach today, but if my voice failed, is he prepared to stand up here? His wife says yes. And I believe her. He's ready. And we should always be ready to take over for the weakness of flesh. Because it's ever present. But Nephi found that if he shook off the flesh, the spirit was there in great strength. Turn to Revelations 3. I can get there. Revelations 3, verses 7 through 13. And it's speaking about a church. And I would hope that in speaking to that church of Philadelphia, it's speaking to the church of Christ. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I like that. There is no power in this world that can shut the door that has been opened in the church of Christ, because it is Christ's church. We are established as He directed upon His word. Are we perfect? Not yet. Can we be? In Christ. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. You remember the disciples that traveled with Jesus Christ? Christ was asleep in the ship. His presence was near. His teachings were with them. And they had just a little strength. They remember to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have just a little strength, no one can shut that door. And the strength of Christ is ever available. And hath kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You remember those binding straps that were placed upon Nephi, placed there by the world, by his brothers, and it bound him to the point that that compass no longer worked. Well, the world cannot bind you and I, and it cannot bind this church. But we can allow it. We can allow it. And if we keep those binds off, the things that hold us back, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there to protect those that are His. Does that mean some will not suffer? Maybe they will. Does that mean some of us may not die? Maybe we will. But does that mean that our souls are lost? Never in Christ. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, we talked about Brother Nicholas and his absence here. And I'm not trying to elevate a man, but as Jesus Christ is part of his life, he is a pillar in this church. And all those that have gone before and have believed and trusted and worked and hoped are pillars in the church of Christ. Strengths that we go back to and remember. And how can we travel forward except we look back from time to time to maintain a straight path? Heaven is within our breast if we allow it. In that song we sang, it says, carest thou not that we perish? Turn to Psalms 11. Psalms 11 and verses 1 through 7. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Now, I'm not saying I know what that means, but as I read that, as we say we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are others that will look at us and say, times are getting tough. Go to your mountain. Where is your strength? Verse 2, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And you and I are fair game in the world. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, if you listen to CNN and Fox and every one of those news channels, every foundation that we have in this United States seems like it is gone or teetering. And if every foundation is gone, what can the righteous do? Verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. He knows what's going on. The Lord Jesus Christ slept physically in that ship, but was He not aware spiritually of what was going on? Yes, I believe. And the Lord knows what is going on now. His eyes behold. And it says, His eyelids try the children of men. Now, your pastor made reference to, basically, I only have one eye. And if I want to see a little bit better, I squint. I'm naturally nearsighted anyway. And if I squint, it improves my vision just a little bit. My eyelids lower to accomplish that. And as the psalmist described what the Lord in heaven is doing, He beholds everything, and it says His eyelids lower to try. He focuses. He's aware of what is going on within His ship, within His church of Christ, in the world. It is His. Verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. We're going to be tried. We're going to go through some tough times. Verse 6, upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an holy tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. That causes me to fear. I don't want to be part of verse 6. I don't want to be on the wrong side. And if I'm on the right side, if I'm tight with the Lord, His, it causes me no great joy to think that others will suffer, but it is their choice. Verse 7, For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, His countenance doth behold the upright. And hopefully, prayerfully, that is you and I. The song talks about torrents of sin and anguish remembered. And in Alma, the 17th chapter, Alma is telling his earthly sons how that he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How that he fought against that which was right, how that he sought to destroy the church, how that he sought and succeeded in leading many away from that which was right. And an angel of the Lord appeared. And he had a message. If thou wilt not of thyself be destroyed, seek no more to destroy my church. And he fell to the earth. And it says that his soul was harled up. And those of you that farm know what a harl is. What it does. What it accomplishes. Not one thing in his life that was wrong was left hidden, uncovered. It was all brought to the surface. And he thought on it. He thought hard and long. And then he remembered. Something his earthly father had taught him. of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reached out and he felt a great weight lifted. And Enos felt the same weight lifted as he sought the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked the Lord, how is it done? And the Lord told him, because of faith. And isn't that what Christ admonished his disciples in the ship? Ye of little faith, but just a little. And if he were to admonish this church of Christ, it would be ye of a little faith, but that door's not shut. And he beholds all, and his eyelids lower, and he is focused, and he knows his people. Promised land they journey to, a promised land Brother Nicholas journeys to. Alma, the fifth chapter, verse 42. Alma 5, verse 42, and verse 41. And see that ye have faith, hope, and charity. And then ye will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that ye may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Think about all the pillars that have ever lived. Men and women that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to sit down with them. And holy prophets who have been since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as the garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. That is the promised land. To go no more out. No more work to be done. It is sealed, finished. That song, Peace Be Still. It speaks of an ocean. Christ created it. It speaks of the earth. Christ created it. It speaks of the skies. And he created it. It speaks of demons. And they were created by their choice. Cast out with Satan. When they made choice. Man was created with choice. It's the only God-given thing that we really possess. Our choice. Whether we choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or hedge back. Bind ourselves with the world. Allow, I've got a little faith. It's enough to squeak by with. But is it? Only the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are close to him. There are many forces, many pressures. There's uncertainty. And there's fear ever present. If you were to turn to Helaman, the fifth chapter, starting with verse 39, it talks about a period of time when they drifted away from God. Didn't have time for it. They thought about the things of the world. They thought about the riches of the world. Didn't have time to thank God for what they had, what he had blessed them with. He was on a back burner. Caught up in the world. And it says that things became slippery to them. Their riches. They hid it in the earth to protect that which is mine. And they couldn't find it anymore. Swords. Put away for a future hard time, a war. And when the war was imminent, the sword could not be found. Things were slippery. Tools. I make my living with tools. I can't imagine to be without physical tools. And tools could not be found for the day's work. Think about the world that you're in today. Are things becoming slippery? And why? Why? We are asked to be the light of the world. The light of the world. And as things get tougher, how many stones were in that ship that the brother Jared traveled in? How many? 12? How much light did 12 little stones put out in total darkness? Pretty bright, I imagine. And you may think you are not much in the world. I know I'm not. But the darker this world gets, the light of Christ will shine brighter and brighter within you. Proverbs 4, starting with verse 18, says that the shining light will shine brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. Who do you think that light's going to shine in? Those that belong to Christ, those that become perfected in Him. Those that are not caught up in the world. Those that are not distracted. It says don't look to the left or the right. Don't allow your eyelids to be lowered. Look right on towards the goal. We are instructed to be the light. We are also instructed to mirror the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the topic that is hot on everybody's mind right now? The economy, the credit, how to fix it. And you know, really, the smartest, the brightest, the best really don't know what will happen. They have a good idea, but they don't know. What will others see in you when there is total confusion? If you've got the light of Christ in you, if you mirror His image, you are going to be a steady force in this world. And others are going to ask you, not for your financial advice, but how do you keep it together? What brings peace to you? And that's the title of the song, Peace Be Still. We're to be the light of Christ as it mirrors forth within us. We're also asked to be that peaceful force in the world. Peace, be still, and I thank you.